It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. Exodus chapter 14 is where we're studying. We're going to begin reading with the 11th verse, actually verse 10, I think, today is where we'll start. Exodus 14, verse 10. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to leave us an email, we're just getting our website back up. It's been down for a period of time, but we're back up and running now. And so we're just beginning to put it into place. So if you would look to it today, why, all you're going to see is a picture of the church, and we're just beginning to take care of things. So soon it will be up in full order. But the address is parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so if you would like to check our website, why, it would be parkviewbiblechurch.org. And my name is Larry Mulch. I'm the pastor of the church. And let's begin the study today. We're going to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading with verse 10. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more again, forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall upon them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall upon them on their right and on hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Wonderful reading today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, please that you would guide and lead us as we study this word and enjoy it today. I ask that you will touch every heart, that you'll guide and lead each and every one of us, that we may walk with you and serve you and praise you and honor you. I ask, dear Father, as those that are listening today, they may be so very religious and so very active in their church, and yet they do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Young and old, they may not know you. Please, dear Lord, today, that you will touch every heart. You know, we know that there is a day to be born and a day to die. And we know that each and every one of us is going to have to face death, a physical death. But we do not have to all face a spiritual death. We need to come by faith to you. Again, whether young or old, we need to be ready to die. And please today that we come to know you as our Savior, that we would trust in you as our personal Savior. Just that, Lord, that they would ask you to come into their heart and save you and save them. Please, dear Lord, that that take place today through this study. And please, dear Lord, that you'll also teach us that are saved your way and your will. Now, guide and lead us now as we enjoy this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we start here and we've looked at the location in the beginning verses here as Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And we find that a couple of times. The fourth verse, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he shall follow after them. And then in the down in the sixth verse, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out from an high hand. The Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses of the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, his army, and overtook them, encamping them at the next to the sea. They Pharaoh thought he had them. Strong-minded, and he thought without a question that he had the Egyptians, he had the Israelites. The Pharaoh and the Egyptians had the Israelites right where they wanted them. There was no chance, there was no opportunity to go any direction at all other than to be killed and destroyed. Pharaoh and the Egyptians were armed, very well armed. Israel, they had no arms. They had no means of fighting. They were not a well-oiled army. They were not a well-oiled machine. They were not prepared to fight. They were all slaves, and they were just leaving with what little belongings that they had. And here come the Egyptians and Pharaoh in the lead to pursue them. God had hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, as the vengeance of Pharaoh towards the Israelites just continues to grow and strengthens. And here is this desire, this hatred towards Israel. And if you would have asked Pharaoh, and he just says, I'm going to go and I'm going to show these Israelites who I am, they have no idea. Pharaoh had no idea that he was being literally controlled. All the things that Pharaoh had done to the nation of Israel, he was going to pay for. You can't get by. You'll never get away with doing something to God's own. You just need to know that. You know, you can put them to death. You can steal from them. You can cheat them. You can do anything that you want to do here upon this earth. But there will be a day of reckoning. And here, Pharaoh and the Egyptians are going to get their day of reckoning. And they don't realize at all that God is the one that's leading them right into their own grave. And it's a watery grave. And it's the sea, the Red Sea. And that's where the death of the Egyptian army and Pharaoh himself, that's where they're buried. And so as we follow through with this message here, with the story that we have, and again, when I say and make the statement a story, it doesn't mean that it's just some myth. This is an event that took place, and so there's no question that this has taken place in history. This time, as they look at the and find more and more of the tombs of the pharaohs, and their tombs were everything, because they would bring all their possessions, much of their possessions would be buried, because that way they would have use of them in the next world. That was their belief. And we have a pharaoh missing, and that pharaoh is this pharaoh. And so we find, and we know where he died. He died in the Red Sea, and his anger was so great that there was no shutting it off, and he just it was just consuming him. But it wasn't just him only, because he was being directed and led literally by the Lord into this watery grave. As we continue here, we're going to see two things. We're going to see God get his proper due with this Pharaoh and with the Egyptians. We're going to see, and God says he will honor me, because in his death he is showing all the known world, including the Israelites, his strong hand. He is showing that I am in control. Now, we find here that the Israelites do not believe that at this point in time. And as we look at this, we find a simple statement here. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they called unto Moses and says, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?" Now, that's quite a statement, because you see, that's one thing that an Egyptian knows how to do. An Egyptian knows how to bury somebody. They were the first in their preparation to preserve the body. They were in the first to have such an elaborate burial grounds, and the tombs, all the things that an Egyptian, they learned, they knew that. And so it was kind of ironic when Israel says, were there no, that's one thing they knew how to do, was to bury. They knew how to do that. And so, was there no more graves? Has Egypt filled up their limit on graves? Is there no place for us to be buried there? That was the statement of Israel. Now, that's a sad statement, because of all the victories that this people have witnessed. They have witnessed victory after victory after victory in deliverance out of the land of Egypt and from the claws of Pharaoh. Israel has witnessed that, and yet so quickly. And that's the reason that God has led them down to a place that seems like there's no way out. There is no way. Israel is unarmed, untrained in any kind of military area. Egypt, on the other hand, is well-armed, horses, chariots, the leader of Pharaoh himself, and is very militarily minded. And so here we come with a great army against a defenseless, unprotected people. And this defenseless, unprotected people, called the Israelites, were tucked down into an area in this wilderness against the sea. There was no escape. None. They couldn't trick them and slip off to the right or to the left. There was no way out. And that's exactly what you need to see, that the condition that you are in. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you do not know the time, and in the opening prayer I said there's a time to be born and a time to die. Well, there's a time to be born again. And I hope that you're born again. And that doesn't mean something that you could do through your church. You could receive that information in your church. You can receive that information from somebody that's telling you the Word of God. But you cannot receive the gift of salvation just because you have joined a church or you have been baptized. All those things are things that are necessary to do and to follow. But the necessity that we have, the thing that we need to do today is to be born again. And so please that you're born again, because if you're born twice, you're only going to have to die once, and that's a physical death. But if you are born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die a spiritual death and a physical death both. And so please today that you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Please today trust in Him by faith. Don't trust in some church doctrine that says, oh, if you're faithful to this church, you're going to go to heaven. That's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough. The only way you're going to get to heaven, the only way you're going to be face-to-face with Jesus Christ, the only way that you're going to have the joy of no pain and no suffering is if you know Jesus as your personal Savior. So today, please, as the Spirit of God calls on you, invite Him into your heart. You will know the day that you're born again. You know, most people know when their birthday is. They know that their birthday is a certain date in July or August and the month, the day, and the year. They know their birthday. Well, I too know my spiritual birthday. Different than having the date of my month, day, and year of my birth, I don't know that. But I can take you right to the physical place where I met Jesus Christ. And I knew it was in 1975 because I did it the year that I built the Pharaoh House. Most of you have heard this story many times if you've ever listened to this program much. But I met Jesus Christ on my way halfway between the Pharaoh House and the house, on my way after I've done the chores. And the Spirit of God was continuing to deal with me because I was reading His Word. And the more I read His Word, the more it convicted my heart. And I asked Jesus Christ to come in and save me. I was very religious. I was in service in the church we had joined and were members of. I was very active. I was very active in the church as a youth when I was younger. None of that saved me. The only way I can be saved is coming by faith to Jesus Christ. The only way that Israel could be saved is if Jesus Christ would intervene. That's the only way. You see, that's exactly how salvation can come into our life. It looked like to Israel here, with Pharaoh coming, the Egyptians coming, that there was no way. And so these people just gave up. Now, that could be you. You could have tried the church scene. You could have joined a church and got active in the church. And then after a few years, you decide, you know, there's nothing to this. Well, there isn't. Unless you're born again. When you're born again, then all that makes sense. And all that is a blessing to God whenever you are born again. If you're doing that and you're not born again, it isn't. These Israelites are crammed up here in this corner. I don't know how you can cram up into the corner, stuff into the corner here, 3 million people. But that's exactly what it was. And I'm sure they really bunched up tight when this army of the Egyptians began to come. Well, instead of them calling upon the Lord and says, God, You've delivered us once out of Egypt. I know miraculously You're going to deliver us right now, and I know You will. But you see, they didn't learn. They didn't learn the victories that came when they left Egypt. They'd forgotten them already, and we do the same thing. We forget so quickly how God saves us and how great our salvation is. It's the reason we have the Lord's Supper, to remind us of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We need to be reminded of that. God knows this old flesh and this old person and how we forget those things. We forget to praise Him for it, forget to honor Him for it. I have never forgotten the time that I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I said it was in the year of 1975. I know that because that's the year I built the Pharaoh House, and in the concrete it was written 1975. And I know it was in the middle of the summer, and I know it was evening, and I can take you to the place where I knelt down and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Can you tell me where you were saved? Because if you can't, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Because the day you're born again is a day that you'll never forget. Never forget. We need to be reminded what God has done for us. That day you'll never forget, though. You'll never forget it. These Egyptians, you'd have thought, or these Israelites, you'd have thought after what the Egyptians had happened to them in Egypt, and the deliverance of the nation of Israel, the death of the firstborn, you would have thought that surely Israel would have never forgotten. But so quickly they have. And so here they are, tucked down in this little spot. The sea is in front of them. The wilderness is behind them. And here comes Pharaoh. And they're complaining, were there no graves in Egypt? Sure there were. There was enough graves, enough land to bury every Israelite there was. That wasn't the point. God was going to show them. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, Jonah says that. Jonah acknowledges that the salvation is of the Lord. You need to understand that. Salvation isn't of you. Salvation isn't of your church. Salvation is of God. That's where you come, and it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you must trust in Him today. You must come to Him today. And so here we find that Moses is saying, fear ye not, stand still. You know, that's the reason that the devil has got all this lousy music in our churches today. It's got that beat all the time, you know, and he's got all these activities going all the time. Because if you'd ever stand still for a minute, you'd recognize that that's not salvation to your soul. And you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, because that's the other choice if you choose not to. And so the devil has to keep us busy. That's his purpose. That's his job. If he can keep us occupied, if he can keep us busy, that's the reason that by the time you turn around, somebody's got a radio on. You got to have that noise all the time. God said here through Moses, stand still. And not only stand, but be quiet. Be quiet and listen. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. God is a God of His Word. And here's Israel tucked down in here, no way to go out. They think that they're all going to die. They're all going to die. There's no hope. Everyone is going to die. They know it. They just see it. And instead of that, why, here comes the Lord through speaking through Moses, and He says, today I will show you. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, this cloud, this great cloud, and this enormous army, and this armed force that's coming against them, and they are unarmed, and they're defenseless, they're helpless. He said, today, whom the Egyptians you have seen, you see them again no more forever. Oh, what a statement. The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. You have to do nothing. Oh, that's exactly how we're saved. We just turn to Him. That's all these people were to do, was to stand still and look unto God, and He was going to deliver them. And that's exactly how you're saved. Oh, my friend, you need to see that you're hopeless, you're helpless. These people here recognize that. They saw no way to get through this. You need to get to that place that you see no way that you can have your sins removed, be set free, and walk in, be able to enter into heaven and go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way that you can do that. No way. And you need to get to that place where you recognize there is no other way. The only way is Jesus Christ, and to come to Him by faith. These people here had to trust in the Lord. The only other thing they could do is commit suicide or jump into the sea or whatever they wanted to do. The only other alternative is to stand still and watch. And that's what they were told to do. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon all his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten my honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." You know, you've heard me say many times that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've heard me say that time after time, and you'll continue if you listen to these programs, hear me say that very statement. Pharaoh will acknowledge, he will bow his knee before God, not in this world, but in another one. He will honor me. He's going to die right now, and he's going to die a horrible death. And he's going to pursue these Israelites right down into the bottom of that sea. It's dry land, and they're watching, and as it spoke here, that there's walls of water on both sides. And here they come down through that sea, and the Egyptians right behind them. And they're going to catch them. They're going to get them. And they're thinking all the time, because it's so eerie. What's going on here? The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed. Remember, there was the leadership of God, and it's Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, is who's doing it. And he went before the camp, but he removed and went behind them. See, the Egyptians were coming behind him. And so right now, as the sea parted, and they begin to go on dry land, the Israelites crossing the sea, now we find this Shekinah glory cloud, the angel of God come and lifted up and came back down between them, and the pillar of cloud went before them, before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all night. As this was taking place, as Moses lifted up, Moses stretched out the hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind. Oh, let's look. And we're going to begin here as we start next time. We run out of time so quickly. But we need to realize that God is salvation. And he is giving salvation. And he is taking care of that enemy. And you know, he does the same thing for you and me. Our enemy is death, and he takes care of that enemy. God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, has destroyed the enemy of death. But you must come by faith and accept that free gift of salvation that he offers. Please today that you call upon him, that you trust him as your Savior, that you, as we watch God deliver the nation of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh, please today that you get delivered out of the hands of Satan. You get delivered out of the hand of death. You get delivered out of the jaws of Satan, as he wants to take you with him into the lake of fire for eternity. Please, please don't let him have your soul. Come by faith to Jesus Christ today. Be delivered today. Begin to walk and begin to enjoy the salvation that God has to offer you. Please come today. We'll continue this study. We're going to begin with the 21st verse next time we come together. But please, that you know salvation is of the Lord and him only. Please trust in Jesus Christ today as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?